सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् स्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्मस्वरूपिणे अवतारवरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय ते नमः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुस्साक्षात् परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। सर्वमङ्गलमाङ्गल्ये शिवे सर्वार्थसाधिके शरण्ये त्र्यम्बके गौरी नारायणे नमोऽस्तुते। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरिये परमात्मने रणदक्लेशनाशाय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। आपदापहर्तारं दातारं सर्वसम्पदां लोकाभिरामं श्रीरामं भूयो भूयो नमाम्यहम्। In the case of Srimad Bhagavatam, on which we are now expounding, the question arises, who is eligible to hear it? Supposing you want to join MA in botany, MSc in botany, they have prescribed certain qualifications. You have already passed BA with botany, then you are eligible. So in the same way, this class for Bhagavatam, is there any minimum qualifications which are prescribed? You see, when Vyasa wrote this beautiful book, then he wanted that this should be propagated to the world. There should be a college like. And who is eligible to be the principal? Who is eligible to go around and propagate these dharmas of Bhagavata, the laws enunciated in Bhagavata? He said, the only one man who is fit enough for it is my son, Shukadeva. But unfortunately, Shukadeva had already gone to the jungle and he was deeply engrossed in meditation. It was not possible to easily wake him up. And we do not know whether he can be persuaded to come and learn the Bhagavata from his father. So, Vyasa trained two of his disciples to tell two shlokas, two of the verses, which are enthralling. And he told them, you go into the jungle where Shukadeva is having his penance and you sing these two verses. Positively this will wake him up. And Shukadeva will ask you, who is the author of these nice shlokas? Then you tell him, there is one great sage called Vyasa. He has done it. Don't say your father. He should not know that I have sent you all. So, they go there accordingly. And one is, it is a description of how she dealt with Putana when he is a small child. Putana, who was a child expert, she would only eat children, not adults. So that Rakshasi came, well dressed, and she wanted to give her breast milk to Krishna. That breast milk was full of poison and was certain to kill him. Ahobakiyam stanakalakutam apayat. See, because her breast milk was full of a poison and she gave it with a view to kill Krishna. But what a compassion of the Lord. She said, she had done a work which my mother should do. And if my mother were to do, were to give me such milk, what recompense I can do for her? I can give her certain worlds where one could enjoy. So, lebhegatim dhatrijitam, just like his mother, she treated her and gave her a very good loka where she would enjoy and come back and take a higher birth. So this one, and then he says, kamvadyanam sharanam vrajema. Such a compassionate Lord, leaving him, whose refuge we can take, whose shelter we can take. He is so compassionate, this Lord. Then, the second verse was a description of Krishna entering back into the Vrindavan in the evening after grazing the cows and bringing them home. And barha pidam nadavaravapuhu karnayog karnigaram. The Lord has got the peacock feathers in the front of his head. And all the dust has settled on his body. It looks as if some gold dust has been spread over him. And he is having a beautiful garland which is called Vajinti Mala. With that, he enters the Vrindavan. It is also an enthralling scene before us. And when they sang these two songs before Shukadeva, Shukadeva immediately got up. He called them, "Hey, I have never heard of this shloka at all. Who has composed them?" And then they said, "There is one great sage called Vyasa. He has composed." "Oh, Vyasa, this is my father." He ran to Vyasa and told him, "Father, I would like to see the book which you have written, when you have composed such nice poems. I have never heard such poems in my lifetime." And thus he voluntarily came and took over. But he laid down one condition. Normally, as I said, when you have to join embassy, you go and see the notice board of the college. They would have written that for the embassy, these are the qualifications. Similarly, in the topmost Bible of people who advocated non-dualism, that is Advaita, among the people who advocated Advaita, it is told that it starts with the first formula, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Atha means, if you want to talk and learn about the Brahman, then you should be qualified. How? Atha Sadhana Chaturtaya Anantaram. You should be able to have the qualifications of four sadhanas, and then only you can come and sit in the class for Brahma. There are discrimination between the permanent and the non-permanent. nitya nitya vichara. And then you should have vairagya, dispassion from all worldly things, and the mind should be exclusively engaged in the Lord and Lord alone. And then you should have mamukshatva. Mamukshatva means that I want definitely to get rid of this bondage and get my liberation. So his mind should be having a longing for it. And when all these things are, and then there is another one called Shat Sampatti. That is six in one. Again they contain control of the mind, control of the senses, then to be able to bear all sufferings without batting the eyelid, and like that they are prescribed six items. So in all actually it comes to 6 plus 3, 9. Unless you have all these qualifications, you are not entitled to come and talk about the Supreme Lord. Then Shukadeva told Vyasa, delete this class. I don't want any qualification. Whether it's a child, whether it's a madman, whether it's an adult, whether it's an old man, everybody should be entitled to hear this Bhagavata and to know about the Lord. And this is deleted. Then the second sutra is Janmadhyasyataha. Then in the MSc they would have written, what are the things that are taught? See, it's organic chemistry. Then they will say, what is my organic chemistry? And they will say inorganic chemistry. What are the things that are covered by organic chemistry? They will say the various metals and all that. Similarly, the second sutra or the formula like statement, a formula like statement which is brief, it is called a sutra. So the second sutra says Janmadhyasyataha, and the first shloka of Bhagavata begins with that. Janmadhyasyatonvayat idaradascha teshabhigyasuratim tene brahmahridayadikavye mukhyantiyat suryan. So thus there is absolutely no pre-qualification prescribed for entering the realm of Srimad Bhagavata. Then this Bhagavata, it consists of 12 parts, I told you. But all these 12 parts are not arranged in a haphazard manner. They are arranged in a particular sequence so that you start at the lowest rung of the ladder, and it's a staircase, so that in the 12th skandha you reach the goal, the destination. The first skandha is called the part of eligibility. The eligibility in the sense, not the general eligibility has already been told. This is, we want a guru. When you want to learn about Brahman, we want a preceptor, your teacher, who can teach you the Brahman. He himself should be a scholar. He himself should have meditated and reached a high state. So, the eligibility for getting a guru, what sort of guru you can get, how to get the guru, this is what is told in the first skandha. Parikshitya king, when he knew that he had only 7 days to live, he leaves everything and comes and sits on the banks of the Ganges without a vow, where he won't take any meats or water. So at that time his mind was so full of the Lord. Oh my Lord, I got only 7 days to live, but I want God. I am prepared to do anything for it. And when his longing had became absolutely intense, very intense, that but for getting it, he is prepared today even earlier, today itself, if he is not to get God within 7 days. To that extent, he has a volcanic longing in him. And that is what brought one of the best of the preceptors that you can have for all ages, that is Shukadeva. He came and told him the story of Bhagavatam, through which Parikshit was able to straight away get his moksha, get his liberation. So the second adhyaya, the second part, the second skandha, it gives you the sadhanas, that is, what things you have to do to attain the state. And Shukadeva answers Parikshit and answers this question. Then the third skandha, it is called the Karyanvayana skandha or Visarga skandha. It also deals with the how God Brahma, the creator, created the entire world and the other creations, all the beings. And also it deals with the story of one of the greatest of sages called Kapila, where the Lord himself was born as Kapila and he established a new set of philosophy called Sankhya. So how the sages like Kapila were able to put into practice the sadhanas, the practices which are mentioned in the second skandha, and how they reached God. So that comes in the third skandha. The fourth skandha is called Purushartha skandha. Purushartha means, when we live, what do we live? We live for either of the four motives. One of the motives is called, that is, they are called Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Number one, many people who are affluent, they say, I want to build a hostel for blind men. I want to build a hostel for those who have got nobody to look after them. That is the orphans. So this is dharma. They want to build temples. The other motive in life is artha. They want to earn a lot of money. That's all. They want to go on accumulating crores and crores of wealth. The third one is kama, that is enjoyment. I would like to have a giant size refrigerator in my house. I would like to have central air conditioning of my entire house. And my car should be fully, should be provided with AC. It should be cool. So the one who wants to enjoy all through. So enjoyment is his only motive. Then there are a handful, perhaps one in crores, who wants to be liberated forever from this world, from the bondage of this world. And that is called liberation or moksha. So that they may not have any more birth and death. I should cease, the cycle of birth and death should cease. So that is what they want. Permanently to be absorbed in the Lord and never to come back again to this world. So, for each one of them, there is a story which Shuka says. Then, so it is called the Purushartha Skandha. That is, in other words, there he finally proves, whatever you want to enjoy without any impediment, whether you want to earn money, unless you seek the help of the Lord, you will not be able to achieve your ambition. even this year. And the fifth skanda is called Sthiti skanda. Sthiti means to be established. It is not a question of for a few days doing meditation and then leaving it. You should be completely established in it. Never more you will slip down. You will live that life of a mendicant with all its laws being observed by you. You will never have the least negligence about it. And for that purpose, there is a story of Janabharata and Rishabhadeva. Then sixth skanda is a very beautiful skanda. The sixth part consists of, it is called Pushti skanda. Pushti means anugraha, grace. You may do all the sadhanas in the world, you may have the best of teachers, and still we cannot get the Lord unless His grace comes. There is a last lap of the journey. Just as when people go to the moon in the satellite, they don't go up to the moon in the satellite. Far away, they stop it and they stop the supply of the aviation fuel, then the petrol to the engine. And now what happens is that moon, it has got its own power of attraction. We call it the power of gravity. So it pulls, it attracts and takes with itself. So sadhana can take you up to a certain distance, and the last lap of the journey is completed. You are pulled and attracted by the Lord only. And grace is important. And how grace can come to a demon. A demon who does only sins. He has never done any merits in his life, any good things in his life. How he can also be saved by the grace of the Lord. And also, fallen Brahmin who has got into the company of prostitutes, and how he finally was saved. So these stories are there in the sixth skanda. The seventh skanda is called the Vasana skanda. What happens is, many of the actions we do, we don't do out of our free will. Because we have done some actions in the previous birth, so those tendencies have left an impression in our mind which propels you in this birth to repeat the same act. In my previous birth, I have been going to temples. So in the next birth, I am automatically drawn to the temples. In the previous birth, I was going to certain places where dice was being played, Monte Carlo, where these dice and roulettes are being played. So in this birth also, I would like to follow the same thing. So this is called the vasanas. These vasanas can be good vasanas, can be bad vasanas. And he gives an example of one Hiranyakashipu for the bad vasanas, and his son Prahlada in respect of good vasanas. Then we come to the seven. All right, you have defined that there are vasanas. How to get rid of them? So it is called Vasana Nirasana Skanda. That is the path where how to remove the vasanas are being told. There are only two main things there, that when you are in a danger or calamity, think of the Lord. He is sure to help you. Apadi Bhagavasmarana. Whenever you are in danger, in a crisis, where there is a question of life and death, pray to the Lord. He alone can save you. And similarly, Sampadi Dhanam. When you are very affluent, you have got a lot of money, then there is also duty vasanas that you are enjoying all those things. So how do you get rid of it? You give away your properties, you give away your wealth in charity to the needy people, the poor beggars, or to blind men, like that. You give them away, dana, charity, and there is the way. Now we come to the ninth skanda. Ninth skanda, it is called, where the various kings in that line where Krishna was born and how they were devoted to the Lord, they are all mentioned. It is called Manvantara Anucharitam. Then the tenth skanda, 11th, are most important. The tenth skanda is called Nirodha Leela. Nirodha means the mind should be completely stopped. There should be no thoughts, all thoughts stopped. And then only you can get the Lord. The mind should be annihilated. So that's called Nirodha. The tenth skanda is fully dealt with, is fully dealing with the sports, the disportation of Lord Krishna, both as a child and also as an adult later on. We call them as Bala Leela and Proudha Leela. And when you hear them, however many times you have heard, again and again when you hear them, you are attracted towards those stories. You are so attracted, your mind is completely concentrated on it. You forget the world, you have forgotten your home. So the entire world is forgotten during that period. We call it prapancha vismarana. To forget the entire world at that time. And naturally, when all the thoughts regarding the world are eliminated, then what happens? Then your mind is absolutely in a stop. It doesn't move. The annihilation of the mind has taken place and we will be with God. Either we are with the world or with God. Eliminate the world, we are only with the Lord. And the 11th skanda is called Mukti Skanda. The various methods, the various yogas, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Hatha Yoga, all these things are mentioned in the 11th skanda. And they are the methods by which we can get liberation. So it is called the Mukti Skanda. Then finally, the last or the 12th skanda, it is called Ashraya Skanda. The question is, you get your moksha. Yes, you cease to come over here. You cease to take birth and there is no more birth and death. Then where do you go? In the moksha, where do you go? The final refuge or shelter where we reach after the mukti is the Supreme Lord only. So that is described in a brief way in the 12th skanda, and thus the Bhagavata is a staircase to reach the ultimate reality by the various means which are prescribed in Bhagavata. And now we are moving to the story. Parikshit has become a king. He has grown. He has grown to a land. And Dharmaputra and all the Pandavas, they install him in the throne and they go away to their respective places. And Parikshit is the king. And Parikshit, one day he was going in the jungle and he saw that we call this the Kali Age. There are four ages we have prescribed, just like we say the stone age, the metallic age, the electronic age, just like that. The Parikshit suddenly saw that an innocent cow and an innocent bull were being tortured and beaten by a person dressed like a king. And Parikshit is highly angry. In my kingdom, who is there? Who is dares to torture the innocent beings? And he puts his arrow on his bow and he wanted to kill that man. He just falls at his feet and says, I am the god in charge of the Kali Yuga and I am called Kali. I am the god or the presiding deity over this Kali's age. And Kali always means the quarrels or the altercations between two people. I quarrel with you. It's all called the Kali. So in the Kali Yuga, that is what happens. Everybody quarrels with everybody. The father with the son. These sisters among themselves. Husband and wife. Everywhere you will find. And country and country. Everywhere this Kali is present. And when he fell at the feet of Parikshit, he asked him, look here, Kali, I don't want you in my kingdom. My kingdom should be pure and just. I don't want you here, causing quarrels among people. You get out of my kingdom. Then Kali says, the entire world is yours. Your kingdom extends throughout the world. So where can I go outside your kingdom? So please, give me some places where I can live even inside your kingdom. He said, Dhyotam, Panam, Striyaha, Suna. He says, wherever people are playing dice, be there and cause quarrel. Then, wherever people are taking liquor, the local liquor or whiskey and all that, I mean to an undue extent, there you will be. And thirdly, wherever there are prostitutes, you will be there. And lastly, wherever there is slaughter of the animals, the butcher goes and kills the sheep or the lamb. So that sort of place where there is slaughter, you will be there. These are the four places. Then Kali requests, sir, these four places are not enough. Give me one more place. The king said, all right, wherever there is gold, you will be there. Wherever there is gold, people will be quarreling. I will have it and I will have it. They will try to kill each other. And that is why he chose that. Well, afterwards, the king Parikshit is now once he goes into the forest in order to hunt. A king normally goes and entertains himself by hunting the various animals, especially the wild animals. So he went into the forest, but somehow he was alone. And he was hungry and also very thirsty. And he couldn't see any place where he would quench his thirst. He saw there one sage called Sringi Maharshi. Sringi Maharshi. He was doing meditation. He was in deep meditation. He was almost in the samadhi stage where he has forgotten his body even. He goes to him and says, "O sage, I am King Parikshit. I am very thirsty. Please give me a cup of water." Well, Shringi Rishi was completely outside the purview of this world. He didn't hear. He was with the Lord. So he didn't heed the words of the king. He didn't get up at all. He was not aware of the presence of the king. The king got angry. "After all, he is my subject. I am the king of this kingdom, and this fellow is not giving me the due respect." And so, what can he do? Just only in a sort of a fun. There is a dead serpent lying there. He just took the dead serpent and put it on the neck like a garland on the neck of the sage Shringi, and went away. Shringi was not aware. But then, in a few minutes, Shringi's son, who was also a sage, he came over there. Then somebody told him what happened. He was extremely angry. "This fellow, this king, he dares to disrespect my father, to dishonor my father. I'll teach him a lesson." And then he curses him. "This king will die from the bite of the biggest serpent, the king of the serpents, Takshaka, on the 7th day from today." What is the significance of 7 days? See, normally, when you have to give a charity, you will give 5 rupees, 10 rupees, 20 rupees, 30 rupees. Nobody will give 18 rupees, 17 rupees. So, either the curse should be, have for 10 days, on the 10th day from today, or 20th day from today. But you will curse that in 7th day. That's got a significance for all of us. These to tell us that all of us have to die within these 7 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. These are the 7 days. We can't die in any other day. So, in order to tell us that we are also subject to the same danger of death one day, we have to do something to prevent it. We have to think of the Lord, we have to worship the Lord. Because of that, there is a significance of the curse saying that on the 7th day from today you will die. And there, when Shringi came back to his consciousness, his son was weeping. "Why are you weeping?" Then he told him, "See, that fellow has put this serpent on you, on your neck. He's arrogant, this king. So I won't teach him a lesson. So I have cursed him that he has to die." The father censures him. He says, "Son, you have done a very bad thing. We have got the powers, but we should never use it like this indiscriminately. This king is the best king that you can ever have. He has been dealing with his subjects in a very compassionate manner and full of justice. And if this king is lost, there will be nobody to rule over this kingdom. And there will be no king to supervise everywhere thieves, burglars, dacoits and gundas. Only you will find them all everywhere and people will suffer. That is a very bad thing." And then somehow he sends a message to the king. He is in the message to the king that he has to die within 7 days, exactly on the 7th day, having been bitten by Takshaka, the king of serpents. The moment Parikshit heard of this, she immediately possessed grandson Janmeja. He tells the people, put Janmeja there, he'll be the king. He doesn't wait to see the coronation of Janmeja. He goes away. He just takes away all his kingly garments and he just dresses himself in a small towel and he goes to the banks of the Ganges and sits there with a vow that from today he will not take any meals, he will not take any food or water even. It's called Anashana Vrata, not to take any food. On hearing that the great king has come to the Ganges in order to live his life, all the great sages from all the places, they need not walk or journey by train or car. They can always transport themselves anywhere within a minute's time. So they all came there. Devala, Parashara, Vasishta, Bhrigu, all these sages they came and sat before him. And on seeing them, the king asked them to bless him. What sort of blessings he wants? Punascha bhuyat bhagavatyanante rati prasangascha tadashreshu maasuyamyam upayam visrishtim maityatsu sarvatranam abhijabhyam. Whenever I take my next birth, let me have absolute love towards the feet of the Lord. In the next birth, I may not forget the Lord. Let me have absolute love towards Him. And not only towards the Lord, the people, the devotees who are dependent on the Lord, let me have love towards all those devotees also. And whenever I take my next birth, it may be 2 months later or 3 months later, let me have friendship towards all in the world. Let me never have the least enmity or hatred against anybody. So, maitrista sarvatra, let me have friendship towards all and let me always honor and respect all these scholars and the sages. Then when he saw that all the greatest of maharishis have all assembled together, he said, they are all realized souls. I am sure they will be able to tell me some means or some method by which within 7 days I could reach the Lord. So he had all hopes, because the people who were supposed to be taught in the ladder of spirituality, who have realized the Lord, who have come face to face with the Lord, they are all here. She asked him, now that I am at the door of death, please tell me what I should do now in order to get my moksha or liberation before I die on the 7th day. Whatever you do, I am prepared to do. But all the marches, all the sages, they remain silent. They laugh within themselves. We have all done penance for 10,000 years, 20,000 years, and then we got the illustration. What does this fellow think? He thinks it's a left-hand play. And All his life he spent in entertainments, when hunting, going for hunting, and now when there are only 7 days left, he wants a shortcut where he can reach God. Oh my Lord, what stupidity! But as he was a king, nobody is prepared to tell openly that he can't give him any shortcuts. You all keep quiet. Parikshit understands, and he had strong hopes that such great sages are here. They should be able to give me some methods, some means by which I could get God. Venusi found that none of them was prepared to speak on the subject at all. His heart was dashed to pieces practically. All his hopes went away. So he went to the top of hope and then he fell back into depression. Oh my Lord, there is not a single person who can tell me the way to the Lord. See, look here. Because Parikshit had such a longing, he very much wanted it at all costs, some method to reach God within 7 days. So all his hopes were dashed to the ground. And just at that time, the Lord knew that Parikshit is an earnest devotee. He'll be even prepared to leave his body just now if he can't get God. So I should do something. So one of the greatest sages that the world has ever seen, one Chakradeva, he was going from place to place. He was going somewhere. He was naked. And Digambaram Bhakta Vikirna Netram Pradambabhavam. He was well formed and he was a young man, absolutely naked. He was not aware of his body. He was not aware of his entertainment. His head was not combed. The hairs were going here and there and they were spread all over. And he doesn't stay anywhere for food. He may stay in some place for the time which takes to milk a cow, godovana matrami. So that time it may take 15 minutes or 20 minutes, only that much time he will stay. He will be going on wandering wherever he liked. He had no destination. And God propelled him from inside, inspired him. Come on, there is another devotee of mine called the Parikshit. His hopes have been dashed to the ground. Go in, please. Tell him a method. So, being inspired inside, he walks to the banks of the Ganges where Parikshit is sitting. When he came there, the king does not waste his time in just praising him and then giving a welcome address. Nothing. Just started telling that I am very thankful to you for coming. He asked his main question. This is the question for which the answer is there, and that is Bhagavata. It is only the answer to one question. Purushasya yat karyam mriyamanasya sarvatham yat shrotavyam ato japyam yat kartavyam nabiprabho. See, a man who is going to die, he is at the door of death, and what can he do to get the Lord? What he should hear, by hearing which he can get God? Ato japyam, or what sort of recitation of a mantra he can do in these 7 days for getting the Lord? Yat kartavyam, or you tell me, that you do this havan, you do this fire sacrifice, and you will get the Lord within yourself. This I am prepared to do. Whatever you say, I am prepared to do. Please tell me the answer to this question. As a man at the door of death, what he should do? What he should recite as a mantra? Or what he should hear for getting the Lord? And the moment he heard, now with this the first part is over. Now we are coming to the second part or the second skanda. When Sukadeva was asked this question, he went in ecstasy. Ah, what a question! What a beautiful question! Nobody has ever asked me such questions. Variyaneshde Prashnam Kritam Lokahitam Nripa. Why is the question beautiful? A number of people come to see me wherever they go. And at least more than 70% of them, they come to me thinking he is a sage, he is a Mahatma, he is a great soul. So he should be able to cure my father who has been ill for the last 2 years. He can cure my wife who has been having rheumatoid arthritis for the past 4 years. So everybody considers the great soul as a doctor only. They all come there in order that their personal problems will be solved at that time. Their son does not care for them, he is in America. So I want to see my son. My son should have a good relationship with me. Please. So this is how people come. And the balanced people, excepting perhaps 1 in 1,000, the rest of the people, they simply come and sit. This is all they think. By sitting before a great soul, they get all the merits, all the punya, and that's why they come. It's rarely, one in about several thousands who come to you and ask some questions, sir, I got difficulty in my meditation, what should I do? Or, this is what I've been doing, is it okay? Like that people who ask about the Lord, there are very few. So, he says, okay, what a beautiful question you have put. And why it is beautiful? It is beautiful because Kritam Lokahitam Nripa. You have done one of the biggest benefits to the entire world. You have done a great service to the mankind, because whoever reads this Bhagavata, the conversation between Sukadeva and Parikshit, they will have answer to this question. And thus, whoever has got answer to this question will be able to save himself from this cycle of birth and death and reach the Lord. And so, you have done a great service to the entire mankind. You see, so many thousands of years have passed, so many hundreds of years have passed, so many thousands of years. But still, so many people hear Bhagavatam, and some of them try to practice them and get the ultimate reality. Now, he straightaway gives him the answer. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatman Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Srotavyaram Ketatavyascha Smartavyascha Chata Bhayam. This is the only thing to be done. A man who is at the door of death at any time, or anybody for the matter, anybody who is born as a man, he has to do only this and then he can attain God. Srotavyaham. He should hear about the Lord. He should hear about the various methods by which one can reach the Lord. So one should hear. Then kirtitavyascha, then you yourself go and tell people, well, these are the methods which are given in our scriptures, and by doing this we can reach the Lord. Then you can always remember. You need not talk because your throat is not okay. And you need not hear because there is nobody who comes and talks on Bhagavata. But the third one is within your reach. You can do it at any time sitting. Lord, my Lord, Govinda, Narayana, O Krishna. Like that, we can take the Lord's name and remember him at all times. And he says, in this life, even if you are able to spend 2 hours in your entire life remembering the Lord, it will save you. It will do a lot of good to you. And then, how can we do it? For this purpose, he says, first keep your mind absolutely pure. What are the impurities of the mind? The impurities of the mind are kama, krodha, lobha, that is anger, desire, including lust, then greed for more money or more items. All these things are there. But all these things are based on your ego. Ego means considering that the body is mine. It is energy which is everywhere. See, the electricity which has come with the generator, it goes into all the 20 bulbs here. If the electricity in one bulb were to think, this bulb is mine, I am owning it, then he is sorely mistaken. Because it is a one whole indivisible energy going into all the bulbs. It is not divided into separate bulbs. We are not aware, from one bulb to another there is always a connection. It goes from it. Thus, there is an indivisible energy there. So, in the similar way here, we should not think that the container, namely the body, is ours. At any time, the electricity is not bound inside that. At any time, it can leave that and go. So, similarly, at any time, we can leave and go. This is not confined or bound to the body. So, as I said, the body is not ours. So, the only impurity is to think that this body is mine and this body is part of me. And that causes the rest of the things like anger, greed, etc. Because for nurturing the body or people who are connected with your body, you want to earn a lot of money, then greed comes and you get angry with people who are putting impediments in the way of your getting a lot of money, you get angry with them. Thus, all these things stem from this one fact of ego. Then he says, control the mind. After controlling the mind, you have to think of the Lord in two different ways. Either you think of his cosmic form. You just think the entire world is his body and the rivers are his hairs. Like that, you go on thinking of his various parts, you associate them with something in this world and then you think of him. More than that, the easier than that is giving how to do meditation on a particular form. It's not simply think of Lord Krishna and immediately meditating on him. No, your mind will not stop there even for 1 minute. So the method is what is called is from the foot to the head. You have to see step by step and then the whole form of the Lord. How? when you shut your eyes, you just bring before you the foot of the Lord, and there again you see the various fingers and the nails on it. A portion of the nail is coming out, which is white. A portion of it is attached to the skin, and there is partly darkish red. And then you think of the ankle of the Lord, where he has got the fire, what is called the anklet. So they are making sound. There are a lot of various praise the jewels. Say, diamonds are there, and all the other blue, red, ruby, jade, all these things are there. So many monies are made. So just give your imagination a wide berth. You just extend your imagination to the extent you can. Then you think of his feet. Then you think of the Pitambara, which is wearing the yellow garment, which is made up of a special silk, divine silk, where he glows. And then you come to his hands, and he wears several ornaments. One is here near the shoulder, which is called Keyura. Then in the middle, what is called Kataka. Like that, various types of ornaments are there, and God is wearing the ball. And then you come to his body. His body is of darkish color, and he is wearing so many malas. And in the midst of it is shining one blue stone, which is called Kaustubhamani. It is light blue. It is there. And now you come to his hands, his palms. Then you go back to his neck, very prominent the neck is. For many people, the neck is sunk into their body. You cannot see the neck separately at all. But for the Lord, the neck is very prominent. And then you see the Lord's lips, always reddish like, and always smiling. And it is that smile which creates the maya, which attracts you and then entangles you with this world. It is the maya herself which comes in the form of the Lord's smile. Then you think of his eyes, long eyes, full of compassion for all the people in the world. Whether it is devotee or not, he loves all. The love of the Lord is something supreme. Nobody is an exception to it. He loves everybody. Children, women, old, young, deformed, and spastic children, everybody he loves from the heart. Then you come to his forehead, where he is having a Kasturi Talak. Kasturi is a particular type of anjant out of which he makes a Talak. And then you think of his hair. His hairs are curved like, and they all fall into the forehead in a free way. And thus you can think of him separately from the feet to the head. And then suddenly you think of him as a whole, Krishna standing as a whole. Then your mind will stop there. Thus this process itself will take you some 10 minutes. Each one, just enjoy, see that, and then you go to the next. And similarly, again you start from the head, start from the forehead, start from the head, then you come to the forehead, then you come to the eyes, then you come to his lips, then you come to his shoulders, like that up to the feet. And then you again think of him as a whole, Krishna as a whole. So this is one method of meditation where you go part by part, and thus the mind can be allowed to settle down. Otherwise, you just think of him, in 1 second you will forget it, you will be thinking of your grandson. So that is why this method has been prescribed. So he tells all these things. You see, this Sukadeva, even his birth, he was unique. That is why we revere him. From the day he was conceived in the womb, he was having this passion, what is called Vairagya. The boy was 16 years old inside the womb, but he never came out. The mother couldn't stand up or walk. She was lying down for 15 years. 1 year she managed to carry him and do her work. Then for 15 years she was lying down. She couldn't carry him. And Vyasa and the mother several times cajoled him. Oh my dear son, please come out. See how difficult it is for the mother. She will die if this continues. So please, for heaven's sake, you come out. Sukadeva first refuses. He says, this here is a place where nobody disturbs me. Nobody comes to me. I got an absolute solitude where I can be meditating. And I get beautiful food in the form of liquid, well filtered, and I get all hygienic things. I am very happy here. Please don't ask me to come down. I am afraid of this world. I don't want to come to this world. Let me continue here. But the parents slowly persuaded him and asked him to come out. So at the age of 16, he came out of the womb of his mother. The moment he came out of his mother's womb, if it were a Hindi film or other Kannada film, Telugu film or any other film, they would immediately said the moment he came, he just put his hand around his mother and say, Mummy, and kissed her, and then he put his hand around his father and kissed him. No, no. The moment he came out, he saw at a distance there was a big forest. He began to run. He never cast a glance on his father or mother. He began to run. When he began to run, even though Vyasa was a realized soul, he was little blinded by his affection for his only son. He runs behind him, calling him, my dear son, please come back, please come back. Putrete tanmayataya taravo bhinedu tam sarvabhuta hrudayam munivanatosmi. And Sukadeva never turns his head and looks at them. He goes on. But as he had already realized the soul while he was born, he was all around him, all the trees around him, they all became Sukadeva. Each one was a Sukadeva. It forgot that it was a tree. Each one, it became a Sukadeva. This is called Ekatma Bhava, where only one soul exists. All the other jivatmas are forgotten. The conditioned soul is forgotten. So everybody is that realized soul. So naturally, as every tree was a Sukadeva, the trees were responding to the call of the father Vyasa. And they were telling, oh father, go back, I am not coming. Because they are all Sukadeva. There are two types of this Ekatma Bhava. That is, identifying as one soul. Identifying with the entire environment as one soul. The second method is, see, this is where all have become Shukadeva. Then there is another one. All of this Shukadeva, he is conscious of all being inside himself and he becomes all. All in one and one in all. For instance, Vivekananda was one day in the night, say by about 2 o'clock at night, he was simply walking in Belur Mutt from one end to another. In a perturbed mood, his neighbor, one Prasanna, he came out. He said, "Hey, Naren, what has happened? Like a ghost, you are walking here and there, night, 2 o'clock. He said, "Prasanna, somewhere in the world, a very big calamity has taken place. Many have lost their husbands, many have lost their children, many have lost all their properties, and they are all crying and wailing. I am unable to see the scene. It again and again comes before me. Somewhere in the world, something has happened." He said, "Hey, don't think you have become Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Go and go and sleep." But early morning when the newspaper came in Calcutta, it was called Ananda Bazar Patrika. There the news was there that somewhere in Java there had been an earthquake and many have lost their properties, many have lost their sons, many have lost their husbands or wives. So here something is taking place everywhere and they are all being imprinted on him. So he has identified himself with Java and everybody, with all the people there. So this is another type of ekatma bhava. And now we stop with that he answered that tasmad bharata sarvatma. He calls Parikshit as Bharata. Bharata has got a separate meaning. We call Bharat. It has got a separate meaning. Bha means light or knowledge. Rata means the one who is engaged. So Bharat means those who are engaged in acquiring the highest knowledge. So we are all jnanis. We all wanted to get it, and that is why this entire country was called Bharat at one time. And he says, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatman Bhagavan Ishwaro Harim. You see, there is only one thing to be done. This is the only shortcut. The shortcut is, you always think of him, you always hear of him, you always do japa of him. And whom? Sarvatma Hari, the Lord who is the soul of all, who is in all people, everybody. He is in my heart, he is in your heart, he is in his heart, everywhere he is there. There is the energy which makes you work. So he is there everywhere. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan. He should have those six qualities they are told. That is, he should be the controller of all, he should have vairagya, he should have jnana. So all these things, the one who has got the six qualities is called Bhagavan. So he should be Bhagavan. Ishvara means controller of all. Harihi means dukkhani haratiti harihi. The Lord who is capable of taking away all your sufferings, all your tribulations and all your unhappiness. So that God, that Supreme God, he is to be worshipped by us all. So, from this we stop today. Hari Om. Kayena vacha manasa indriya buddhyatmana vaakye subhava karomi yadya sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayami.